Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Living Beyond Limits and being back together again in person. How exciting that is. Yay. So welcome to our Sunday service. And for those of you who are joining us online, welcome also. So glad that you joined us. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. And so we're going to begin our service today by singing.
That'd be a good thing, only my...
Yeah.
My band is, I think they were drinking last night. So I got to have a talk with them and get them to cooperate here. So this song is one that we've done many times before, and it's really simple. Do you feel like standing up? Because this is a stand-up kind of a thing. The words are, I let the love wash over me, I let the love wash over me, I let the love wash over me, I let the love wash over me. That's pretty much it. The word love will change. I will call out what that word's going to be. So here we go. And the band will be supporting you because I think they've all come back from their hangovers.
You all have a bulletins in your hand, so I invite you to join me in reading our mission statement together. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's exactly what we are up to here at Living Beyond Limits, as we are giving ourselves the opportunity, putting ourselves in a place that helps us remember, yes, indeed, that divine presence lives within us. That divine presence, that one power, that one life essence that expresses itself in and through everything, expresses itself within us. That it expresses itself within us as wholeness and as peace and as love, as beauty, as order, Because what happens is when we come to recognize that those qualities of spirit live within us, that they are always within us, then we aren't so reliant on the outside world to reflect back to us peace or love or goodness. Because when it doesn't, we can tap into that within us. And when we can tap into that within us, then we can bring it forward. And that transforms the situations that we are in, transforms the conversations and the relationships. And so as we do that, we act as a beneficial presence in this world. And because we are all connected to everyone and everything, it doesn't just affect the immediate moment, the immediate conversation, but it ripples out like ripples in a pond that affects the whole because everything is connected to everything else. And so I thank each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path and being a beneficial presence in this world. And so Barbara Conant, our practitioner, is going to come up in a moment and lead us in an evocation and do a contemplative reading for us. And Carrie Hillary is with us today. She's going to lead us in singing the prayer chant, "We Are," that will take us into that evocation. And so I invite you just to begin to kind of settle into yourself and to move into that place of stillness within you, the place of beingness rather than doingness, and to allow yourself just to slow down a little bit and to touch your own divine essence.
And so taking this moment, I invite you to relax into yourself and step into that sacred sanctuary within, a place of love and infinite peace. This is where we realize our oneness with the all good of life. And I am aware that the Eternal One is always present and is here right now, surrounding each of us. We are forever in the company of the Source of Life as it opens our mind and heart to its truth of eternal goodness. The One who lives in and through us and brings our mind to thoughts of loving, of its loving essence. We are the radiant light of spirit and express its life as our life. And we live more fully love and peace in our daily actions. And from this place of peace and love, I bless Reverend Jennifer's every word as she speaks Spirit's truth, and we each take exactly what will bless us. I bless Carrie and her beautiful music. I bless Living Beyond Limits and everyone here today and all spiritual paths. I give thanks for these blessings and so very much more. And so it is. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My reading today is from 365 Days of Richer Living by Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker. And it begins, "Our only contact with the world is through our five senses. Each of us reacts to the impressions that come to us from them in many different ways. When we make judgments of the world and of our particular situations in the world, we are actually stating our own limited viewpoints. We are the only thinkers in our individual world. We alone decide and evaluate the impressions that come in to us. No matter what negative reactions appeared in the mind of Jesus, he cleared them out and saw the goodness of God in his world. He was able to heal, prosper, and free those around him because he kept his thoughts cleared of false judgments, which his senses told him were seemingly true. We can face the negative of the universe and see through them to the divine world made by the one perfect mind. Today, I dedicate my five senses to the presence of God. Whatever my senses tell me about myself, other people, or my work, I shall question. I shall see if it is in accord with God's ideas of people and God's world. I refuse to accept any judgment based upon the false standards of illness, fatigue, lack, and inharmony. These are not of God, and they cannot be true in my world, myself, or other people. I can affirm that God is perfect. God made me perfect, and it made this world a heavenly place. I know this is the truth. Only God I see, taste, touch, smell, and hear, for God is all there really is. And so it is.
So as a part of the Season for Nonviolence, we are continuing today in a series that are talks about creating a culture of peace, creating both peace within ourselves as well as creating peace in the world. And so for the past 6 weeks, each one of these talks has been about the Season for Nonviolence, giving you tools and techniques and things to use as a way of bringing peace both into yourself and into your own life and to those around you. We've talked about things like forgiving others as a way to practice nonviolence and forgiving ourselves as a way to practice nonviolence. We've talked about self-acceptance and about recognizing that when things are looking that in ways that we don't want them to look, to recognize that there is actually a bigger picture that is happening, and to hold on to our highest vision and that bigger picture that's happening. We have talked about, last week, we talked about moving from our heads to moving to our hearts. That when you are in a distressing situation, to slow down and stop and move into your heart space and to ask yourself, what would love do in this situation? And so all of those are things to support us in creating a more peaceful life and a more peaceful experience within ourselves. I know that we all want to experience peace, both within and peace within our world. And peace means more than just a lack of war. It means more than just a lack of fighting. Peace also means to experience harmony. Harmony of mind, harmony of body, harmony of affairs. It means to have a sense of well-being. And that sense of well-being is born out of having enough and feeling and being safe and having a sense of belonging. We in this room want to be empowered to know that we actually have an influence on creating peace in this world. And we can, and we do. We are either advancing or hindering peace through our words and through our actions and through our consciousness. And when I say consciousness, I mean through our most deeply held beliefs and our attitudes and what we focus on and what we think about. Because consciousness attracts to it that which is like it and repels that which is unlike it. And so that means then if we have a consciousness of peace, that we attract people and situations to us that are peaceful. If we have a consciousness of anger and judgment and animosity, we are going to find lots of things in our world to be angry about and to be judgmental about and to have animosity toward. Because like attracts like. And life doesn't happen to us. Life happens through us. That is one of the basic tenets of the science of mind and spirit and the teachings of Centers for Spiritual Living, is that our consciousness is creative. And I know we know that. And at the same time, it is so easy to get caught up in the awfuls of the world. It's so easy to get caught up in the scary things that are happening, whether that's violence or crime or the possibility of war. It's so easy to focus on those things which concern us, the raising prices of goods or the dropping of the stock market, or our own well-being, or people in our family or our friends, the people that we love, about their well-being, to be concerned and focused about COVID, or even the repercussions of living through a pandemic for the past 2 years. It's so easy for that to take our focus and to take our attention and to get caught up in all of that. I think the first thing that we need to do, and I've talked about this already during the season for nonviolence, but the first thing to do is to remember that that focus on those scary things, that focus on the things that aren't working and that aren't good, that negativity bias is the activity of our ego. And it's the activity of our ego so that it can keep us safe. It's the thing that creates the fight or flight response within us. And it's not that your ego is wrong. It's just that your ego doesn't tell the whole story. Your ego doesn't depict or share the entire picture and all that it's happening. I think there's a part of us, really, that thinks that if we don't pay attention to what's going on in the news, we don't pay attention to what's going on in the world and all the most terrible things in the world, the horrors and the problems, whether it's the problems in the world or the problems in our political system or the problems in our own city. If we don't pay attention to those, I think there's a part of us that thinks that means then that we don't think those things are important. That isn't what it means. I also think there's a part of us that thinks if we don't pay attention to those things, we are somehow being irresponsible. Does that ring true to anybody in this room? But you know what I think? I think being aware of what's going on doesn't make you a responsible citizen. I think being aware of what's going on and then doing something about it is the thing that makes you a responsible citizen. But just being aware of it doesn't make you responsible, and it doesn't change anything. And it doesn't bring about a greater good. It doesn't make anything better. So what if instead you paid attention to, were aware of the things that are happening in the world, and then you used those things as a prayer request? What if you noticed and recognized those things that were happening in the world, and then you used those things as a call to spiritual practice? What if you use those things as a prompting to look for the capital T truth? The capital T truth that is already present in that situation, but is not being actualized. But it's still there. Peace still is present. If you think about it, if you take everything away, what do you have left? peace. Peace is still there. It's not that it's gone anywhere. It's just not being actualized. Myrtle Fillmore, who is the founder of Unity, said, "God gives freely. It is for us to keep the receiving channels open, to keep attuned to the spiritual realities, so that this intellect of ours does not take us out among limited ideas of the world." Our ego doesn't see the spiritual truth. It just sees through our five senses. Our human eyes, our everyday mind, only sees through our five senses. And our five senses only give us part of the picture of what's happening. Think about it. Think about how a frog senses this world. You know, a frog doesn't, like, witness the beauty of a sunset. But a frog sees the microscopic movement of a bug on the top of the water that we don't see. Or I think about my dog. My dog can hear things that I can't hear. And I watched a nature show the other night, and they were showing a fox that lives in the desert of the Middle East. It can hear the footsteps of termites, because that's one of the things that it eats. My dog can smell things that I don't smell, and not just smell them, but then decipher information out of what it smells. That's why dogs smell each other's rear ends. There's all sorts of information they're processing, or sniffing a tree. There's information that we're not aware of that they're getting there. A mosquito can smell carbon dioxide, your exhale that leads to its next meal. And turtles actually sense the magnetic field of this planet, which helps them navigate. Yet we think what we see or hear or touch or feel with our five senses is reality. We think the way that we perceive things from our everyday human mind and ego is reality. If I can't see it, it must not be real. We say that. But our five senses only perceive a very small portion of reality, of what is really out there. Doing spiritual practice enables us to comprehend something more. It enables us to comprehend something greater and something bigger. Doing spiritual practice enables us to comprehend a truth that our egoic mind does not see, that our five senses do not tell us. Spiritual practice enables us to see that truth, to know and feel that there is a greater truth, and also to claim that for ourselves in our lives. Raymond Charles Barker, in his book Treat Yourself to Life, said, "When you do your daily treatments, affirm the desires of your heart. Declare your highest vision of good and that it is now so. Not next year, but right now." You may say that is illogical. If you investigate the miracles of Jesus on the basis of logic, you would have to stop before you even started. Jesus could stand before a sick person and deny that there was a sick person. He didn't say, "Oh Lord, heal the sick woman." He said to the woman, "You are well." And she was. He didn't stand in front of 5,000 people and say, "Oh Lord, I hope this bread lasts. Oh Lord, feed these hungry people." He gave thanks that there was more than enough bread, and there was. That is what you do in affirmative prayer. That is what you do in spiritual mind treatment. You look at the problem, but refuse to accept the problem, and instead accept the solution. You accept the demonstration now, that it is the truth now, not next year, not tomorrow, but now. Makes me think of martial arts. I have something to share with you. It says, in the ancient studies of martial arts, we see a beautiful metaphor in the physical world for precisely the way this principle works in consciousness. When a martial artist chooses to break a concrete block as a... Let me say this again. When martial artists choose to break a concrete block as a demonstration of focus, for example, the very last thing in their minds is the place where their hand will touch the block. The key is to place our focus on the completed act, the brick already broken. They focus on a point in space that is beyond the bottom of the brick. The only way the person's hand could be at that point was if it already passed through the brick. They think from completion rather than from how hard it would be to get to completion. They feel the joy of what it feels like to accomplish the act rather than all the things that must happen before they can be successful. This is precisely the way that consciousness works. We recognize the truth that is ever present even in the midst of that thing that we are seeing as a problem. Spiritual practice takes us to a recognition of that spiritual reality right in the midst of what we are naming as wrong. Prayer and meditation and spiritual study help us recognize that peace is already present, even in the midst of chaos. That spiritual practice helps us recognize that there is an infinite intelligence that makes itself home in us and that makes itself home in everything in this universe. Spiritual practice enables us to realize that abundance is the nature of life, even where there is lack. That principle is still the nature of life. It enables us to see that love is our own nature and that love is greater than any fear. And so the title of my talk today is a grand opening. We are that grand opening. We are that grand opening for spirit to unfold itself through our minds and through our words and through our actions so that we might be participants in creating peace and healing in this world. I'm talking about spiritual practice lifts us out of that seeming problem and instead places us in the realization of truth, so that in turn we can let go of our fear and let go of our worry and let go of our concern. That consciousness of truth creates an opening for that to pour forth through us into our own lives and into the world. It creates a place for healing to occur within us and within the collective of humanity. Reverend Roger Teal, who is the minister in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, Mile High, said, "The old conundrum about the tree falling in the forest poses the question, if no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? This teaching suggests that a sound exists only when there are ears to hear it, and that God exists only where there are people to act as conduits for God." What a stunning, extraordinary idea. God comes into the world only through our actions. It means that we have to learn to see ourselves as God's witnesses, as God's instruments, as channels and vessels for transmitting divine blessings from place to place and person to person. We are that conduit through which that divine presence pours itself. Through our actions, through our words, through our consciousness. Our recognition of spirit and our recognition of that capital T truth creates an opening for spirit to pour through unobstructed. We get our doubt and our worry and our fear out of the way so that that which already is can make itself known, can make itself realized in this material world. I also think sometimes we focus more on the problems of the world than we do on the truth, not just because we think it's our responsibility, but because we think, what if this doesn't really work? What if this consciousness stuff really isn't even so? But what if it is? What if it does make a difference? What if, by aligning your mind with the good of this universe, you create space for more good to come into your life? What if, by aligning your thinking with peace, you create greater space within yourself for peace to grow, to become bigger in your life and in your world? What if knowing the reality of wholeness, your own wholeness and everyone else's wholeness, created space for greater wholeness to show up? What if opening to infinite possibilities created an opening for more possibilities to show up in your life? Have you not experienced that? When we believe we can't, we can't. When we are open to possibilities and look for them, possibilities start showing up. And I think it's important to remember, when we are doing that work in consciousness, we aren't trying to change anything in the world. We're not trying to manipulate things out there. Is all we're doing is changing our own thinking and our own consciousness. We're moving our own mind to a place of greater acceptance, the acceptance of what already is. Raymond Charles Barker said, "In affirmative prayer, I realize that I am in a power which is already in action and which I merely let happen through me. I clear my thoughts regarding a situation in order to let my good happen, because I'm not treating conditions, I'm treating consciousness. I'm treating mental attitudes, moods, my thinking, my feeling." Is all we're doing is getting our own stuff out of the way so that which is already true can unfold itself in our lives and in our world. And you may have noticed, when you come out of prayer or spiritual study or meditation or living beyond limits, you are different. It changes you. We feel different. We act different. We feel better. We feel more peaceful. We feel more open to possibilities. We have better clarity about things in our lives. And then, do you remember that thing about mirror neurons? That mirror neurons are neurons that are in the human brain, and they're the thing that when a baby in a room starts crying, all the other babies in the room start crying too. It's because we all have these mirror neurons in our brains that mirror what's going on. So when you are more peaceful and more relaxed and more trusting and more open, the people around you become more peaceful and relaxed and trusting and open, simply because of our mere neurons. So just that alone, to me, says spiritual practice is worth it. If I can change my own experience and be more peaceful in my life and more open to possibilities, but not just that, but then the people around me are somehow affected because of mirror neurons, that alone to me is enough reason to do spiritual practice. So I ask you that. Has changing your consciousness made your life better from doing this spiritual practice? Has doing meditation or praying, or spending time in nature, or coming here to Living Beyond Limits made you more peaceful? Has it made you more calm? Has it given you a greater sense of well-being? If the answer is yes, then it's worth the practice. And it's worth us each recognizing, too, the more we do that practice, the better we feel and the better our lives are. That's why I said in the very beginning, it's so important to realize that negativity bias and that focus on the worst things is our ego. It's always the way your ego is going to respond in the world. That's its job. It takes us choosing the me. I am not my ego. My ego is part of who I am, but it takes me, my whole self, my spiritual self, the me that came to this planet, to decide to do that spiritual practice, so that my life can be better and in turn things around me shift also. And so my invitation to you is to use the distressing things of the world, the things that aren't right, the things that tweak you, to use those as a prayer request, to use those as a call to spiritual practice, so that you might step out of that which is distressing and move back into the place of your own wholeness and your own peace and your own good, so that you might return to the truth that life is good, that God is good, and that is always available. I invite you to disconnect from the problems of the world and to pray or meditate or do yoga or spend time in nature or just get quiet and listen within yourself or come here or watch a video. There's so many things to do to shift our focus from what isn't working to a place of remembering. To recognize that there is an infinite presence within everything that acts through everything. To look for that, to see that. You have to look for it to see it. And recognize that the perfect solution to whatever is going on in your own personal life or in this world already exists. It's just waiting for us to open ourselves to it. Trust that. Look for that. Open yourself to that. And as a result, you'll be experiencing greater peace within yourself, creating greater peace around you, and you'll be acting as a healing and a beneficial presence in this world. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of remembering. This path of owning your own spiritual and divine nature and bringing that into this world in a way that is healing and beneficial and beautiful. Thank you, every single one of you.